everyone, both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online, as we are in the middle of this glorious day when we remember and we celebrate the great happening at the center of our faith, the story of Jesus' resurrection. He is risen! That first Holy Week was certainly a surprising time. Jesus, remember, came into the world on a mission from God that culminated in Jerusalem. He came riding triumphantly on a donkey on that first Palm Sunday. His teaching, his actions confounded the religious leaders, but delighted the people. We know that on the night he was betrayed, he met with his closest disciples, and he gave them a profound sign act of what he was about to do to win our deliverance from sin. Remember, the Passover, which they were celebrating, was the great sign act to be reminded of God having delivered his people from their bondage to slavery in Egypt. Well, in the middle of that Passover meal, Jesus gave them a new sign act. The Last Supper memorialized Jesus' saving actions and our deliverance from bondage to sin. We remember that his body was broken and his blood was shed. John the Baptist, remember, had said early on, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Well, on Friday, the disciples were stunned. They went through, Jesus went through the agonizing experience of death by crucifixion. He paid the price. He atoned for our sins. Hanging on that tree, may we never forget the price that he paid for our sin and our salvation. The disciples were stunned. They couldn't believe that everything they had experienced and everything that they had been through with Jesus had ended like this. And yet, there was one more surprise, one more amazing happening. A church in Bangladesh was showing a film about the life and death and the resurrection of Jesus to an audience filled with people who had never heard the gospel story before. And so little children sat in the front and in the aisles, and the adults sat toward the back. As the story of Jesus' crucifixion unfolded, and Jesus' broken body was laid in the tomb, there were tears and there were audible gasps. And so as the emotion-filled audience watched, one young boy suddenly spoke up and he said, "Don't be afraid. He gets up again. I saw it before." Can you imagine being exposed to the gospel for the first time and watching the crucifixion scene being reenacted, and then through the power of motion pictures to witness his resurrection? Surprise! He who was dead is now alive. Pastor Phil Calloway tells of driving his 5-year-old son past a local cemetery. He and his son driving, and of course, 5-year-olds often have an interesting perspective on things. So as they were driving by and noticing a large pile of dirt beside a newly dug grave, the boy pointed and he said, "Look, Dad, one got out." One got out. Well, Calloway laughed at the time, but he writes, "Every time I pass a graveyard now, I'm reminded of the one who got out." We celebrate the one who got out. Amen? He was in the grave, yes, but he didn't stay in there. We celebrate the one who got out. I want you to try and see today's Bible passage through the eyes of the women who first visited the tomb. The women were the first to be surprised. Imagine their surprise when they discovered Jesus got out. Why were the women coming to Jesus' tomb so early that first Sunday morning? They had some unfinished business. They had come to prepare their friend's body for burial. Well, everything was different after they encountered these two men in clothes that seemed like lightning, obviously angels. And then hearing their words, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen." They went to tell others. Surprise! He's alive! Jesus got out. What are some other surprises? Surprising elements of Easter. Let's consider some surprising elements of Easter this morning. First of all, the resurrection marks the moment when life overcame death. That's the primary reason why most of us are here today. Death has been overcome. So the pro golfer Paul Azinger was diagnosed with cancer at age 33, and he wrote about his experience. He said, "A genuine feeling of fear came over me. I could die from cancer. But then another reality hit me even harder. I'm going to die eventually anyway, whether from cancer or something else. I'm definitely going to die. It's a question of just when." And suddenly, everything that I had accomplished in golf became meaningless to me. All I wanted to do was live. And that's when he remembered something that his friend Larry Moody had told him. "Zinger," he said, "we are not in the land of the living going to the land of the dying. We are in the land of the dying trying to get to the land of the living." That is what Easter is all about. Listen to the angel's words again in Luke 24. "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. We are not in the land of the living going to the land of the dying." Easter reminds us that we are in the land of the dying on our way to the land of the truly living. Paul Azinger wrote about how his perspective on life was changed as he underwent cancer treatments and then returned to the PGA Tour. He wrote, "The only way you will ever have true contentment is in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that nothing ever bothers me or that I don't have problems, but I feel like I have found the answer to the 6-foot hole. I know I'll spend eternity with God, and I have a promise that as a child of God, he'll help me deal with anything. He promises to offer me contentment regardless of what life brings, even cancer." The resurrection marks the moment when life overcame death. Amen? The resurrection also marks the moment when hope overcame grief. Hope overcame grief. The power of death and loss and grief can destroy us. It can make us lose all hope. Pastor Stephen Brown says he was devastated after his younger brother Ron died of a heart attack. Ron was only in his 40s. A popular district attorney, a terrific father. Stephen said, I never even had a chance to say goodbye. So several weeks after Ron's death, Stephen decided to visit his brother's grave. It was a cold, rainy afternoon in late winter. Ron's grave was not marked yet, and Stephen, he couldn't find it. And as he trekked through the mud, his grief overwhelmed him. Standing in rain, Stephen began crying out, "God, this has been the worst month of my life, and now I can't even find my brother's grave." Suddenly, Stephen sensed a presence near him, as though Christ had come alongside to help. And the same words that the angel spoke came to mind like a burst of light. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Stephen said, those words gave me tremendous comfort, and I haven't come back to the cemetery since. I don't need to go back. The one who loved Ron and knows him came and met me in my grief, and he has promised to never leave me, and that has made all the difference. Even death cannot destroy the hope of those who believe in Jesus Christ. Amen? The resurrection marks the moment when hope overcame grief. Finally, the resurrection marks the moment when we have to make a decision. Will we leave here like the women, bursting with joy and telling everybody that we see about this eternal life that is offered to us through faith in knowing Jesus? Or will we leave here like Peter, who saw the empty tomb and he saw the grave clothes and he just walked away unconvinced? One of the most surprising elements about that first Easter story is the initial reaction of the disciples to the women's testimony that the tomb was empty. At first, the disciples were unconvinced. Luke tells us that they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. There was one exception, Peter. He got up and ran to the tomb. Luke 24:12 says, bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, what? Wondering to himself what had happened. What a lukewarm response to such a dramatic event. The resurrection demands a greater response than that. It is the decisive moment in human history. Jesus, who claimed to be the living embodiment of the one true God, died. And then 3 days later, he came back to life. There is no other belief system on earth that teaches this about their founder, about the prophet, or about their God. The resurrection serves as the foundation on the Christian faith and the Christian church. Without the resurrection, all we have is a nice philosophy for living. If the resurrection is a lie, then the Christian faith is a lie. If the resurrection is a lie, then death is the end of the story for every one of us. If the resurrection is a lie, you had no reason to get up and to come here this morning. But it isn't a lie. The resurrection is real. It's true. And it's the most important truth known to humanity. So a young woman for many years kept house for her mother and her father. And morning, noon, and night, as a part of that, she would get their tea out of a can which had a picture of the Rock of Gibraltar on the can. Well, later in life, she was able to take a trip to Egypt. And on the way, one bright morning, she looked through her porthole of the ship, and she saw the actual Rock of Gibraltar. The same rock that she had seen on that can of tea all those years. And she almost cried out. Then, it is real. It's real. It's been real all the time. That's how we will feel on that day when the dead in Christ shall rise. It's real. It's been real all the time. Christ is risen from the dead. Because he lives, we shall live as well. In his classic novel, the robe. Lloyd C. Douglas has a character called Marcellus, who had become fascinated by Jesus. He wrote letters to his fiancée Diana in Rome. He told her about Jesus' teaching, about his miracles, and then about his crucifixion, as well as his resurrection. Finally, he informed her that he had decided to become a disciple of Jesus. In her letter of response, Diana said, "What I feared was that it might affect you. It's a beautiful story. Let it remain so. We don't have to do anything about it, do we?" And the answer is, to her question, yes, we do have to do something about it. Everyone has to decide. We have to decide, is the resurrection the truth or a lie? And if it's the truth, it marks the most important moment in human history, and it calls all of us to a very special kind of life here and now, a life following Jesus. But not everyone accepts the message of Jesus. It was true then, it's true today. Not everyone will experience the reality of Jesus' resurrection. Not everyone will leave here and go tell everyone that they know Jesus is alive. But those who do it will do it because they believe it is true, and they can't help but share this life-changing news. So here's the question. How about you? What will you do? I would encourage you, be one who both believes and shares this good news about Jesus. He is alive. Amen? He is alive. He is risen. Let us pray. Let us pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, gracious Master, Almighty God, loving Lord, on this glorious day, we celebrate that Jesus is the one who got out. He got out. He was dead, but now he's alive. He was in that grave. His body was broken. His blood was shed, but he didn't stay there. And because he got out, because he was raised, we too can get out. We too can be raised. Oh Lord, open our eyes if they be blinded. Soften our hearts if they be hardened. Increase our faith if it be diminished, that we too might decide and believe. At first, those first disciples were unconvinced. They struggled to believe after everything that had happened. But in time, their eyes were opened. In time, their hearts did soften. In time, their faith was released, and they did believe. They did see Jesus alive. They did see Jesus risen from the dead. Oh, Lord, I pray for each of us gathered here and for all who are watching online today that none of us will leave this moment without the opportunity to declare, I believe. I believe. If the resurrection is not true, then life can seem pretty hopeless, pretty grim. But if it is true, then death is overcome. Then hope springs forth, and the promise of eternity rings true. Oh Lord, give us the measure of faith. Give us ever-increasing faith. Give us boldness of faith to declare, Lord, I believe. I believe. And we remember the words of Paul in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, where he says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Lord, we thank you for the glory of your promises. We thank you for the power of your resurrection. And we thank you for the impact of simple, childlike faith. Lord, give us new life. Give us new hope. Give us new passion to share this good news today. In Jesus' name we prayed, and everyone said, Amen.